Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett.
So when someone says all religions are basically the same, you could say, yeah, I agree, totally agree, except when it comes to God, man, the afterlife, Jesus Christ, the Bible, heaven, hell, and the very purpose and meaning of why we're on this planet. Apart from that, they're pretty much identical.
Have you ever asked yourself the question, aren't all religions the same? Surely religion is religion, same God, just different ways to look at him. No, sorry. If that's what you've bought, then please take it back to the shop for a refund. There are a number of global religions, but they do not all honour God. Tonight, Dr. Corbett lifts the fog with a frank discussion on Christianity versus religion.
Firstly, every religion differs regarding its claims about God, man, the afterlife, and Jesus Christ. So let's look at those four criteria and have a look at what each of these religions have to say. So, religious claims about God. What does Islam say about God? Well, Islam calls God Allah. Well, it's just the Arabic word for God. So let's not get too hung up about that. But God is called Allah. In Islam, he is eternal, omnipotent, and arbitrary. Now, I'll come to that last word in a moment, but you might think, well, that sounds reasonable, and I'm sure if I had Muslims here, they would go, that's exactly what we believe. That's exactly it. They would be considered what's called a mono, means one, theistic belief about God. So they believe in one God. Right, so there are three great monotheistic religions. If you consider Christianity to be a religion, it's Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. But Islam is more than monotheistic. It is, here's another word, monolithic. Monolithic. That is, there is God is one being, and there was a time when God existed and no one and nothing else existed. He exists as one being, one person. And that puts Islam in quite a different camp to Christianity just there. But now let me pick up on this word arbitrary. You see, arbitrary means that it's sort of, you can just change your mind. It's arbitrary. You can do it this way, or you can do it this way, you can do it that way. There's no fixed way. Arbitrary. When Muslims say God is arbitrary, they say if he damns you to hell or grants you mercy for no particular reason, he could do that. If he shows you love and then decides to show you his wrath, he can do that. That's God's arbitrary nature. Now, that's quite different to the Christian concept, the Jewish concept, completely. All right. So that's just, we'll just put that on the table. And I think if we had a Muslim here sharing what they claim to believe, they would say, yeah, that's right. That's what we believe about Allah. All right. What about Buddhism? Buddhism says there is no God. That's their view on God. There is no God. So I can't put another sentence there defining the God they don't believe in, because they just say there is no God. That's it. So when the Dalai Lama was in Australia and he was asked to describe God, and he said at a press conference, a live press conference, I don't think there is a God. And all the journalists broke out into laughter. They thought it was hilarious. They thought he was joking. He didn't think it was funny. He wasn't laughing. But he was happy for them to look like dills and not have someone follow up the question with a very simple question. What do you mean? You're a religious leader. What do you mean there's no God? In what way, then, are you religious? Begs the question, when a Buddhist prays, who do they pray to? Just think about that for a moment. Hinduism claims that God is a personified force called Brahma. And He made himself from everything, especially castes, not classes, castes of people from this personified force, Brahma, made from his head, the elite people, the caste of Brahmins, and they're the priestly caste, and then it goes right down to the feet, and they're the outcasts, they're the lowest of the lows. I hope you pick up that already. This is quite, if all you knew was Islam and Buddhism, you should right now realize, wait a minute, these major religions have radically different views about God. So they believe that Brahma created from himself everything. So in other words, everything is essentially God. There's a word for that. It's called pan, which means across, theism. God is across everything. God is everything. So they believe that everything is basically God. All right. Then let's compare that with Christianity. Christianity states that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. In other words, they've always existed together simultaneously. Never has just one of them existed on their own. Holy. Holy means bound by certain laws of the highest moral order. When Christians say you are holy, they are saying God is the perfectly moral being, and he's bound by a set of predictable, consistent laws that he will always operate within. Infinitely loving, omnipotent, and omnipresent. This is the claim of Christianity about God. What I want you to pick up straight away is that each of these major religions view God utterly, and the word literally is radically. In other words, it's just radically different from each other. All right, what about man? Islam says that the first man, this is in the Quran, the first man was created in heaven. And he was then transported down to earth. That's what it claims. It claims that the purpose of man is to obey Allah, or to be in submission to Allah, more precisely. The word submission is actually what Muslim or Islam means. It means submission. Problem. What is the problem that mankind faces? Well, the problem is that mankind is not submitted to Allah. That's the problem as Muslims see it. What's the solution? Allah has dictated word for word the Quran to his prophet Muhammad, they claim, which calls for submission to Allah, the Quran, and the prophet Muhammad. Again, I don't think there's anything controversial about that. I think if I had a Muslim scholar with me on the stage, he'd probably say, yep, that's it. That's our position. Muslims have five pillars. That last one, the solution, is reflected in their first of the five pillars. They have a statement, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. In fact, that's all you have to utter to convert to Islam. The second pillar of Islam is that you pray five times a day. There are designated times of prayer where you will kneel and face Mecca, wherever you are in the world. The giving of alms, or the giving of aid to the poor, is considered the third pillar of Islam. The fourth pillar is fasting. They have a season of fasting called Ramadan. And the fifth thing is you commit to making a pilgrimage to Mecca. And if you can't, then you aid someone who is able to. In other words, you might give someone some money so they can make a pilgrimage to Mecca. That's how Islam sees man. Buddhism, how does Buddhism see man? It actually, Buddhism sees the origin of man as originally evolving from inanimate matter. The purpose in Buddhism, they actually say the purpose of life is there is no purpose of life. That's apparently Siddhartha Gautama, the one known as the Buddha, that was apparently his great enlightenment. That the purpose of life is that there is no purpose. Life is meaningless, he said. And it's when you come to that realization that you actually are enlightened, he claimed. And what's the problem? Well, the problem is that you have desires. You crave things. You look for meaning. You look for purpose. You look to satisfy these cravings and desires. And that's your problem. So what you have to do is you have to calm those things down. And that's done through a series of meditations and so on. Now, of course, someone could come up to me and say, well, you've just addressed one type of Buddhism. There's multiple types of Buddhism. And that's true. I'm actually basing this on the founder's teachings, not those who have interpreted and branched off and created different types of Buddhism. What's the solution? It's to attain enlightenment through what's called the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is in three categories: wisdom, ethical conduct, and mental development. It looks, you've got to have a right view, a right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. What's your obligation as a Buddhist? To live out the Eightfold Path. That's your obligation. Hinduism says the first people were emanated from different parts of Brahma. That's how they came into being. Purpose? To achieve good karma in order to have a higher transmigration in the next life. If you live a good life now, you'll die and be reincarnated and come back as something better in the next life. And ultimately, if you keep being a good person, you can transmigrate into nothingness and become one with the universe. A little bit different to the Buddhist concept, which is similar. The Buddhist concept is nirvana, which we'll look at in a moment. So you become one with the universe. Obligation to honour religious customs and traditions. Very, very strong in Hinduism. Very strong. Christianity. What's the origin of man? Well, the first man was created immediately by God. And the first woman, Eve, was created by God from the first man, Adam. What's man's purpose? To know, please, love, and enjoy God. What's the problem? Mankind introduced sin into the human race and incurred the penalty of God's wrath. What's the solution? God has given his Son to be the object of his own divine wrath as a substitute for individuals who receive the grace of God's forgiveness through Christ. That's the solution. And what's the obligation for a Christian? To live holy lives that reflect love for God and his commandments, and to love others, which is enabled by the Holy Spirit. What about the afterlife? I hope you can see each of those religious views differ completely how they regard mankind. So when someone says all religions are basically the same, you could say, yeah, I agree, totally agree, except when it comes to God, man, the afterlife, Jesus Christ, the Bible, heaven, hell, and the very purpose and meaning of why we're on this planet. Apart from that, they're pretty much identical. The afterlife. Islam says in the afterlife there's either paradise or hell. Paradise will consist of a harem. This is for men, by the way. Heaven is for men. Don't convert just yet. Just track with me a bit here. Paradise consists of a harem of up to 70 virgins to eternally satisfy your every sexual desire. The Buddhist concept of the afterlife is nirvana. That is nothing. There is no afterlife. Hinduism. There's no afterlife. Eventually, a devotee hopes to transmigrate to become one with the universe. Christianity views the afterlife as there is heaven or hell, which will result after the day of judgment. The Bible knows nothing of purgatory. That was a medieval invention that came much after the close of Scripture. Religion's claims, number three, Jesus Christ. Islam claims Jesus Christ was a true prophet. That's really interesting. It's Isa, I-S-A, is how he's referred to in the Quran. He lived a sinless life. They acknowledge that. He lived a sinless life. He was not crucified. They claim that just before they came to get him, he disappeared and he put a spell on Judas to make Judas look like him, and it was actually Judas that died on the cross. Again, if we had a Muslim scholar and I said, have I just represented your view fairly? He would say, that's it, that's our view. Get this, Muslims, the Quran says, one day Jesus Christ will return to judge the world. Buddhism, they claim Jesus Christ was a reincarnation of the Buddha. He was an enlightened one. Hinduism, Jesus Christ was a great teacher. And similar to Islam, who also claim that he was a great teacher and a true prophet of God, they say the only problem is that everything he taught was wrong and everything he prophesied was false. Which begs the question, in what way can he be a true prophet and a great teacher? Christianity regards Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God who became a man to die for the sins of mankind. All right, what did Jesus say about himself? These are the claims he made about himself. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, here's the problem we've got. It sounds so postmodern, it sounds so wonderful to say everybody is true and nobody is wrong. That sounds beautiful. Sounds like, oh, kumbaya, let's gather around the campfire. That's beautiful. And I'm not sure where people get that information from, but it's so embedded in the culture now that the moment you begin to say, but I think Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation. Well, why do you think that? Well, I think that because he said it. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said something more or less about religion. And in a moment, if you've got your Bibles, we're just going to jump into John chapter 8. Because in John chapter 8, Jesus has this profound exchange with the religious leaders of his day. And in this chapter, It just is utterly profound, because Jesus claims that he is equal with God. And at one point it says they picked up stones to stone him because you being a man claim equality with God. That's in John chapter. In another part of John chapter 8, he claims to have existed before he was born. He claimed to be sinless in John chapter 8. He asks them, which of you can accuse me of any sin? Wow. There's a word for that. If you are sinless, you are the word is impeccable. You are impeccable. There's no fault in you. No fault. And in John chapter 8, these very sincere, this is a point I really want to drive home, very sincere, very religious, very devout Jews were told this: unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins for eternity. Because there's a whole bunch of people who said, well, I guess it doesn't really matter what religion you are as long as you're sincere. And Jesus is saying, it's not your religious sincerity that will please God. For example, John 8 verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe, and that word believe is not, okay, I'm going to tick a few mental boxes. That word believe to a Hebrew means to put your trust in. Put your full hope in. It actually means that if you do that, you have to change the way you live. Because in Hebrew, there is no word for faith. No word for faith. The word that is translated into English as faith is the Hebrew word that is better rendered faithful. In other words, if you trust him, you will be faithful to him. In other words, you will obey him. It will change the way you live. In John chapter 8, we have this famous statement. It's actually engraved on the front of some courts, on the front of some schools of learning. It says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But, you know, that's only half the sentence. Because the first half of the sentence is in the previous verse, verse 31, I think it is, where it says, if you abide in me and my words, you will know the truth. Can you see how Jesus is making these incredibly bold statements? If you abide in me and my words, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus is not saying that simply being religious can earn you any merit with God at all. Simply being religious won't earn you any merit with God. How does Christianity differ from religions? It differs in the views of God, man, the afterlife, and particularly who Jesus was. Now I want to bring this to a close. I've given you an introduction to some of these matters. Now I want to remind you of some events that took place in a garden a long time ago when a spirit possessed a snake. And that snake came into the garden and that snake said to the woman, have you seen this fruit? Yes, but God has said we can't eat of it or even touch it. Oh, yeah, and I know why he said that. Because the day you eat of that fruit, he knows that your eyes will be opened and you will become like God. That was a lie. Because they were already created in the image of God. We already are created to be like God. Satan was offering nothing. Your eyes will be opened and you'll become like God. And then here comes the light. You surely won't die. To die means to be separated. And the Bible says in James, I think it's 2:26, that the body without the spirit is dead. The spirit's still there, still alive, still functioning. So faith without works is dead. Here's the point. If you're separated from peace with God, you're spiritually dead. And if you die in your sins, you'll be dead for eternity, existing but not living. What a horrible existence. That's why God sent his son, not to start a religion, not to start another club, but as the way to find peace with him. In 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Notice the Eden language. Sin and tree. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. And that healing is a healing of a relationship with God. Jesus died. Not so we could be religious, but so we could know God. And this is the biggest difference between Christianity and all religions. Religion is man's effort reaching up to God. Christianity is God reaching down to man. Big difference. Here's three things to finish up with. How do you know what religion's true? Here's three tests of truth. Can it be demonstrated as true? Buddhism says the universe has always existed and it did not have a cause. It's just always existed. Is that what science tells us? Is that how things normally come to exist? Is it demonstrably true? Secondly, is it verifiable? Can the claims of the Quran be verified? And thirdly, is its founder trustworthy? Without going into the detail of comparing Siddhartha Gautama, who left his wife and a young child to go and search for enlightenment, without going into the details of the life of Muhammad Ali, the one known as the Prophet Muhammad, without looking at how he promoted Islam, without doing that, let me just focus on Jesus and ask this question. Did Jesus live a life that would inspire your confidence to put your trust in him? That's the question. Because every major religion speaks highly of Jesus. Doesn't that cause you to wonder, why go retail when you can go wholesale? So, here's the question. If you now know that all religions are not the same and that Jesus Christ's claim can be demonstrated as true, if history can verify his claims and he lived an impeccable, trustworthy life, here's the question, the challenge. Will you surrender to Jesus Christ and receive the grace of God's forgiveness?
Christianity versus religion. Some basic questions there for you to ask yourself. The most important one being, can you trust Jesus to be your saviour? Next week on Finding Truth Matters, Christianity versus cults. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, Christianity versus Religion, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. For regular updates and special offers, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/findingtruthmatters. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.